Hi, my name is Michael Rosario from Saugerties, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear about the state budget that was passed a week late last week and had all kinds of non-economic things in it too, like rollback on bail reform. And we're going to hear this morning from Tariq Grandiot from New York State Jails Justice Network about how much bail was rolled back in Governor Kathy Hochul's plan with the legislature in the new state budget. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, plus WGXC's Renewable Weather. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned to your creative community solar-powered radio station, WGXC.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
The one-night-only reading of Aaron Proctor's Alternative Canon, a sacrilegious romp at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on April 11th, is just one of the many creative community events on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org. Saugerties' Round the Bend Theater presents the show, directed by Beth Ryan Troxell, at 7:30 p.m. Monday, April 11th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event or many others, or even adding your own event to get it read on the radio and seen around the world on the WGXC website at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Lawrence Danforth reports in the Times Union that the number of lab-confirmed COVID-19 cases in New York are on the increase, with the percentage of tests coming back positive more than doubling from 1.4% as of March 8th to 3.7% on April 8th. The state was last at that level on February 10th, when 3.6% of tests came back positive based on a 7-day average. In the Capital Region, positive tests doubled from 2.5% last month to 5% as of the data reported on April 8th. Albany County has the highest positivity in the region at 6.5%. The infection rate in central New York is much higher than in the rest of the state, with more than 10% of lab tests coming back positive based on a 7-day average. According to the Times Union, infection rates are likely higher than in other states because New York only uses lab-based PCR tests for its data. As the initial Omicron surge began to wane in February, its variant BA2 became the dominant variant in the U.S. and worldwide. While experts say it is more contagious, it appears that being fully vaccinated and boosted works well to combat the BA2 variant. Hospitalizations statewide remain low, fewer than it was a month ago. The CDC also has most of the state still at low risk of COVID-19, but Onondaga, Oswego, and Cayuga counties remain among fewer than 20 counties nationwide at high risk as of April 10th. The state health department urged indoor mask wearing in those counties, as well as in Madison and Cortland counties. The southern tier, as well as Delaware and Essex counties, are, quote, at medium risk, unquote. Last month, the CDC approved a second booster shot for people over 50 and the immunocompromised. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Bill Mahoney reports at Politico that several candidates have filed to be on the ballot in June for the Democrats' primary election for governor. Incumbent Kathy Hochul, New York City public advocate Jemani Williams, and Long Island Representative Tom Soese filed more than enough signatures. Paul Nichols said earlier this week that he planned to file enough but did not have the evidence April 7th. And Vladimir Joseph and Agham Mohamed Salah submitted petitions but nowhere near the number of required signatures to get on the ballot. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo did not submit a petition. Republican Representative Lee Zeldin got his ballot spot with the party's endorsement at his party convention in March. Business person Harry Wilson and former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino both delivered more signatures than required. Former New York City first son Andrew Giuliani filed to run, though did not share signatures with the media on deadline day. Forest Hills resident Derek Gibson also submitted petitions. Election officials now need to verify those signatures. And you can read more about this story at Politico.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that the Chatham Town Board April 7th on a 3-2 vote approved a local law to allow members to meet virtually from outside the town limits. The vote came after a public hearing on the proposal that same night. Under the measure, members of the board and its committees will be permitted to participate in meetings through video conferencing from locations outside of Chatham. Some residents did speak during the public hearing, expressing concerns about the proposed law. Former town board member John Wapner said that, in his opinion, the law was problematic because it opens up the possibility that a board member could be out of town for an unlimited amount of time and still keep their seat as an elected official. He suggested adding some kind of restriction limiting the number of times a board member could attend virtually from out of town. Resident Tom Erich said of the decision, quote, to stay within the virtual meeting environment is not a healthy one. In my opinion, democracy requires engagement, unquote. Cindy Bobstein, also a resident, said that while she liked the option of allowing the public to dial into town meetings, she feels strongly about town board members meeting together in person. New York State public officers law permits members to participate in meetings using video conferencing, but the existing Chatham town law requires board meetings to take place within the town limits. The new law will take effect after it has been filed with the New York Secretary of State. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper about the push and pull of solar energy options locally at a Kinderhook town meeting. Some folks want more solar energy panels in many places to save the planet from the current climate change, and others don't want to lose their viewshed or more farmland. At the April 4th Kinderhook board meeting, there was talk both of the community solar program the board agreed to join in February, and from one resident about how the town's proposed solar law would gobble up too much farmland. A representative from Neighborhood Sun, one of the two companies approved by the county for a community solar program, spoke at the meeting explaining how community solar allows residential and commercial electrical customers to subscribe to an off-site solar project. To sign up for the program, there is a link on the WGXC Newsroom webpage. Kinderhook resident Karen Watt also spoke at the meeting. She said, and I quote, when solar companies choose prime farmland and non-viable or retired agricultural locations, this creates concern, end quote. Asking the board to, and I quote, carefully evaluate the location of these commercial facilities, end quote. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that 21 organizations in Greene County have received a combined $27,575 in donations from Stewart's Shop's Holiday Match Program. Checks were issued in March to the Athens Cultural Center, Cairo Food Pantry, Catskill Little League, Catskill Public Library, the Common Ground Dispute Resolution Group, Greene County Agricultural Society, Greenville Central Schools of Robotics, Kiskaton Volunteer Fire Department, the Thomas Cole Historic Site, and others. The funds awarded come from the change customers toss into jars at the 350 Stewart's Shops location statewide during the period from Thanksgiving to Christmas. For 35 years, Stewart's has matched each donation penny for penny, dollar for dollar. All of the money is donated, and there are no administrative fees. This year's campaign was one of the most successful yet, the company announced. Customers raised just over $1 million. With Stewart's match, more than $2 million was distributed to local organizations to support local children. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Mid-Upton News reports that Bard College has been studying Kingston's air quality, and it could be better. Bard Assistant Professor of Environmental and Urban Studies and Director of the Center for Environment, Science, and Humanities said Bard's air monitor was installed on the roof of the Andy Murphy Neighborhood Center on Broadway just before the COVID-19 pandemic began. He said, and I quote, "There were observed reductions in air pollution during some parts of the COVID shutdown, but the reality is the cars are still going, and in a place like Kingston, we still needed to heat our homes with oil and gas heat, and we also have in Kingston a growing and concerning number of wood-burning establishments, both restaurants and in people's homes," end quote. In 2021, the American Lung Association gave Dutchess County's air quality a grade of D for high ozone days. High ozone days occur when pollution and weather create dangerously higher levels of ozone that can be harmful. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And the National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny day, good for the solar panels, with a high near 57 and a northwest wind spinning the windmills from 5 to 7 miles per hour. Monday night, showers are likely. There's a 60% chance with cloudy skies and a low around 45. Those rain showers continue into Tuesday before 11 a.m. And mostly cloudy skies gradually become sunny with a high of 62, but a lot of wind for the windmills, up to 14 miles per hour. Tuesday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 41 and a west wind from 3 to 7 miles per hour. And then Wednesday, there's again a chance of showers, a 30% chance, mainly before 2 p.m., then becoming partly sunny with a high of 63, a low around 49. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears, solar-powered radio for your ether. Monday, April 11th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. Tariq Grandiot from the New York State Jails Justice Network explains what's in the New York State budget in terms of bail reform and what was rolled back. Afrosonic Taxi is on at 10 a.m. this week with tracks from Angelique Kidjo, Tango Zimba, and Lauren Dalrymple. 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with Ray Charles live from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson. That's where WGXC has a basement studio on Warren Street. And that's at 11 a.m. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Three show this week with Chloe Haslip, John Carpenter, and Radio Shock among the featured artists. 2 p.m., Vital Weekly has brand new music from around the world, including tracks this week from Anaya Lockwood, Stalbits and Waterhouse, and Elizabeth Harney. At 4 p.m., we go live to Housatonic in Western Massachusetts with Kieran Riley on the WGXC Afternoon Show. WGXC Congressional Report is included in the news at 6 p.m. on All Together Now. Economist Richard Wolff is the guest on the Law and Disorder Show explaining whether the sanctions against Russia are doing any good. And then Silk Sonic, Nilovo Youth Choir, and Doja Cat are featured at 8 p.m. on the Bound to Knots Radio Show. And In My Room Radio at 10 p.m. features African Head Charge, Clara Rousset, Pierre Bastion, among others, 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The one-night-only reading of Aaron Proctor's Alternative Canon, a sacrilegious romp at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on April 11th, is just one of the many creative community events on the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. Saugerties Round the Bend Theater presents the show, directed by Beth Ryan Troxell, at 7:30 p.m. Monday, April 11th at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event or many others, or even adding your own event to get it read on the radio and seen around the world on the WGXC website at WGXC.org.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where's that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, April 11th. We are 27.6% of the way through the year and 71 days left until summer, and this morning it feels like it. The temperature ranges from 29 degrees in Red Falls to 34 in Nevis. Soil temperature has creeped up, however, to 47 degrees. We are almost there. After the cold this morning, we're going to see 50 degrees by noon, then 60 degrees by 4 p.m. Cloud cover will be increasing through the day till it's partly cloudy this afternoon. After dark, chances of rain roll through the area and a low of 45 happens by dawn tomorrow. Then, rain chances taper off by noon and we see a breezy afternoon with a high of 68. 43 degrees overnight takes us into a moist Wednesday with a high of 66. Thursday is looking very spring-like, stormy with a high of 73. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and it looks to stay that way for most of the week. Elm, maple, and alder are the main aggressors. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:55 a.m., high tide at 11:34 a.m., low tide once again at 6:43 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 44 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:17 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see that a surprise geomagnetic storm was spawned over the weekend as Earth transitioned into the wake of an ostensibly weak CME that was then struck by a strong plasma stream, causing a conflagration of radio waves. Expect residual interference with things like radio transmissions and GPS. Solar wind speed is currently 538 kilometers per second at 8.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. Don't even ask. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4. Unsettled. The current sunspot number is 13. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
We're listening to Zach Poff's Pond Station, available at wavefarm.org/listen. If you click on the listen button on any WGXC.org page, you can hear the sounds from the bottom of one of the wave farm ponds, thanks to the hydrophones Zach Poff has put there. The radio artist is surveilling the underwater sounds in Greene County, and you can go to wavefarm.org/listen or click on any WGXC.org page and click on the listen button to listen to transmissions from inside a wave farm pond from morning until sundown from Zach Poff's Pond Station.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of LOVID. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Now let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said. Now repeat.
If you like the way you're feeling tonight, then just keep dancing. There's a tension in the air tonight, but it's only the
Chicago.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Historically, when we've had inflation above 4 and we've had unemployment below 4, essentially always since World War II, that's been followed by a recession within the next 2 years.
Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers on the risk that Fed interest rate hikes could bring a recession if inflation doesn't slow. A new CNBC poll finds consumers cutting spending in response to rising prices, and even higher income households are showing some signs of financial stress. Summers called Russia's invasion of Ukraine, adding to surging oil prices and supply chain issues, a quote, perfect storm. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says U.S. intelligence shows Kremlin war plans include intentionally targeting civilians in Ukraine. Russia tapped a new commander to take over the so far failing invasion, a general who ran scorched earth attacks in Syria. Principal researcher at RAND Corporation, retired Army Colonel David Johnson.
And I think the pressure on Putin and on the Russian military now to perform well, to take Donetsk and Luhansk and consolidate that area is enormous at this point. So I think he's going to do whatever it takes to be successful.
The government of Ukraine says it is bracing for a massive fight in the east. It is encouraging civilians to leave the area in spite of strikes that have hit refugees. White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci said coronavirus cases are down nationwide, but the U.S. could follow the U.K. and see a surge driven by the BA.2 subvariant.
When you have a highly transmissible virus like the BA.2 and you have pulling back on mitigation methods, at the same time there's waning immunity, we're going to see an uptick.
Fauci said by fall, folks may need a second booster and eventually yearly vaccinations like a flu shot. Former President Donald Trump has endorsed Dr. Mehmet Oz in the Republican Pennsylvania Senate primary. Oz has been accused of promoting weight loss scams and quack medicine. Later, the former president joined three other House and Senate candidates at a rally in Selma, North Carolina. There, Trump again attacked President Joe Biden and falsely called the 2020 election stolen.
From the Afghanistan disaster to the Ukraine disaster, everything we're seeing is a consequence of this horrible, horrible election. It was rigged. It was stolen. It was a disgrace.
Sunday, Republican Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney said the House January 6th committee now has enough evidence to refer the former president for criminal charges. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
11et began as Norwegian composer Dan Peter Sundland's master's degree project. And we'll hear some of his lush orchestral jazz fully realized on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Steve Moore, Phonoghosts, Fringe Magnetic, and Jimmy Penguin. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Tariq Grandois from the New York State Jails Justice Network to talk about bail reform. Tariq, welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Elizabeth.
We're here talking about bail reform. Can you sort of lay out for us how we got to this point where a bail reform has been rolled back?
Bail reform has been a big fight in New York State for a long time. It was passed in 2019. The grassroots efforts go back to like around like 2015, 2014, you know, and it really kind of took off after the Khalif Browder was released from Rikers. And it really took off when he unfortunately died. Even since like the start of it, you know, there's been a lot of the prosecutors, district attorneys from across the state, they're unionized, pushing back against it from its, you know, from its inception. This has been a fight that's been going on for at least 8 years. A part of like the issue that they've had, the opposition to bail reform, is that it's making communities more unsafe. And they're like falsely saying that, like, you know, every single person that's going into jail is getting released back out no matter what the crime is, when that's just not true. And it's making it harder for prosecutors to actually like prosecute. It's made to stir like fear and controversy in people who don't really understand what bail even is.
I read a headline regarding bail reform. I think it was in the Daily News that says undoing New York bail reform proves that fear wins.
Not really, more so fear. It's just it's misinformation. Misinformation, and then people play on fear to misinform people. So these issues, these safety issues, are very, very real, right? People are really dealing with a lot of issues, right? You know, we've seen an increase in domestic disputes, domestic violence all throughout the state. We have seen increases in violent crimes, right? You know, they use that term violent and they kind of like spread it to like almost anything when they're trying to like get people to side with punitive measures. But these concerns are actually very, very real. The issue is not that we're having like, that we need more punitive measures. The issue is that we don't have enough resources in our communities. That's the real issue. We're all facing an increase, a struggle after COVID. A lot of the safety nets that most countries have, and even actually we've had, have been rolled back. So a lot of people are like, you know, are between like a rock and a hard place. These conditions actually make our communities ripe for more crime. And honestly, rolling back bail is actually increasing these issues more long term.
Do you feel like going into that just a little bit more? I mean, in some way, it seems like so unfortunate that bail reform passed in 2019, and then we had multi-year pandemic that we're still in as sort of the backdrop to the test period before the governor rolled it back. So I'm just curious, can you talk about some of those like on the ground situations that you're referring to?
I mean, I could talk from like, you know, personal experience. My brother, he's currently incarcerated now. He's in jail down in Hudson County. Well, in Hudson, in a jail called Columbia County Jail. He's been in there since Christmas Day of 2020. During his time, our family has completely changed. He has, his daughter. We've been rotating her. She spent some time with me. She spent time with my mother, her grandmother. She spent time with her mother. And we've been just like rotating it back and forth whenever we have capacity to take care of her. This is like a real, real big impact, you know, on her life, on our lives, you know? So we've all had to kind of step up in order to take care of her. So I had to take time off of work, right? You know, my mother has had to like stop things and everything, you know, in order to take care of her, right? Things like that makes people more desperate, right? Things like that make people more likely to engage in activities that are deemed criminal. We're doing okay, but most people don't have those resources, like don't have family to rely on to like hand off their kid to while they're sitting here trying to fight a case, you know? So currently right now, my brother is trying to fight this case. That's the only reason he's still in there. They've been dangling the plea in front of his face, and he's been denying it and saying that, you know, he's innocent. In order for him to actually beat the case, he has to sit in there because, you know, we don't have the money to, you know, afford the bail. That's just quite literally. And what bail reform addressed was that issue in itself, was that, you know, people who are poor, right, who have lesser means, shouldn't be forced to take a plea because we have lesser means. And, you know, we all should be able to get out of jail if we're granted bail. He was granted bail, so he should be allowed to be able to come home in order to take care of, like, you know, my niece and his family, which long-term creates safer communities when the families are still intact, when people do not lose their apartments because they're in jail, when people do not lose their jobs because they're in jail fighting a case. You know, these things make it so that people come out innocent or guilty in a worse position than before they went in. And when this is happening in, like, you know, at mass, these are the conditions that actually make it so that, you know, communities are ripe for crime. The lack of resources and then the just disgusting, you know, profit-driven bail industry, because that's what it is. It's an industry.
Tariq, thank you for sharing your personal story. I appreciate it. And it does sort of bring it into light what we're talking about here with bail reform. Do you have a message to the governor? She attached the New York State budget with this agreement around bail reform. So what is your message to her right now?
Currently, she is working against her constituents. The message that she thinks she's passing off, and the wins that she thinks she'll get from siding with the prosecutors, is not what's going to happen in the long run. It is always best to side with the people as opposed to where the money is. Put the people first, honestly. That's the only message I have for her. Just put the people first.
Could you tell us a little bit about New York State Jail Justice Network does besides pushing back on bail reform revisions?
The New York State Jail Justice Network, we're a coalition, a network of different organizations, people, families, people who are directly impacted, who are coming out of jail, folks who are currently in jail, who are dedicated to creating more resources for folks and alternatives to jail. And we're putting an emphasis on jails all around the state, not just Rikers Island. One of our biggest fights is like coming from a jail like in Broome County, in Binghamton. That jail in itself has been for almost a decade, for years and years and years, has been like the highest incarceration rate of any other jail in the whole entire state. A lot of folks don't know this, because when folks think about jails, they first think about prisons, which there's a difference between jails and prisons. And then if they do think about correctly jail, they think about Rikers Island. You know, one thing people should know is that, you know, there's a bunch of Rikers Islands all throughout the state. There's a Rikers Island in Binghamton, there's a Rikers Island in Rochester, there's a Rikers Island in Buffalo, Schenectady, you name it. And then there's even less oversight than there is in Rikers. As little as there is oversight in Rikers, there's even less in these county jails all throughout the state. And a lot of these COs and a lot of these judges and prosecutors get away with the heinous crimes against people just because folks aren't, like, don't have their ear to these jails. So Jail Justice Network is about putting these jails on blast and providing resources for folks and families that are not jails and not just these punitive measures that we've been seeing that affect Black and brown people disproportionately throughout the whole entire state. So just as much as Black people are dealing with arrests at disproportionate rates in New York City, we're dealing with that everywhere outside of the state. And more than half of the people that's arrested right now in the whole entire state of New York are outside of New York City. So we need to fight for the people just as much as we need to fight for people in Rikers.
Thanks for that, Tariq. And what can people do now who still believe in the bail reform measures that were passed in 2019?
Call your legislators, see exactly where they stand on bail reform, you know, get in contact with local organizations, get in contact with the New York State Jail Justice Network. We all need to push back against anyone who's pushing these false claims about bail reform. And we need to just know our facts, know exactly what's true and what's not. There's a ton of information out there. We send information daily. We need to go after our legislators and ask for actual real resources. Instead of, like, you know, Governor Hochul putting $1 billion of taxpayer money towards Buffalo Bills Stadium, how about she put that towards, like, our public schools, which is proven to reduce crime, you know, when our public schools are funded, and other proven resources that help our communities, like community centers, et cetera, et cetera. We need to actually push these legislators and let them know that, you know, we want them to stand firm on bail reform. And we don't want any rollbacks on bail reform. And we want not just no rollback, but we actually want resources on top of the bail reform to help support our communities and not just have just us out here with nothing, expecting the communities to get better.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear. Did you hear that?
No.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Margaret Hartman reports for New York Magazine that 66 people sent complaints to the Federal Communications Commission regarding ABC's telecast of the Oscars, which included a physical and verbal attack by actor Will Smith on comedian Chris Rock.
Oh, wow! Wow!
Those complaining said they were, quote, traumatized, unquote, quote, offended, unquote, quote, triggered, unquote, and, quote, shaken, unquote, by the attack. Quote, I haven't been able to sleep as a result. My child was also scared. I had to take medicine to calm me down, unquote. One anonymous viewer wrote to the FCC. Quote, I thought your agency was supposed to keep this type of violence and cursing off television. I hope you can bring sense and reason back to the public airways, unquote. Another wrote. ABC did keep Smith's profanity off the airwaves, cutting to silence while viewers in Japan and Australia heard the entire encounter. After the 2004 Super Bowl, where Janet Jackson's nipple was exposed at halftime, the FCC received 540,000 complaints. Tom Vernon reports for Radio World that AM and FM radio stations are still the number one sounds in cars. The Infinite Dial 2022's survey of in-car media listening found 73% of people listen to the radio in their cars, while 53% listen to their own digital music or sounds, 35% use a CD player, 32% listen to online audio or subscribable audio,
and 22% listened to satellite radio. The AM/FM listening numbers fell sharply during the pandemic from 81% in 2020 to 75% in 2021. At home, though, 39% of those surveyed say they do not have a radio, and that grows to 57% for those ages 12 to 34. Edison Research conducted the National Telephone Survey of 1,502 people aged 12 and older using random digital dialing techniques to both cell phones and landlines in January 2022. Read more about this story at Radio World. Inside Radio reports that it is 5 months since President Joe Biden nominated Gigi Sohn for the fifth commissioner seat on the Federal Communications Commission. Republicans have blocked the nomination so far, with a Senate Commerce Committee vote last month tied 14-14. That leaves the FCC commissioners in a 2-2 deadlock, meaning little can be done in the radio regulator's office. Democrats need a motion to discharge from the Senate Majority Leader in order to have a vote scheduled in the full body. Then all 50 Democrats would have to be present to get a 50-50 vote, which Vice President Kamala Harris could break. But Democrats are more concerned now about Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson than Sohn. Republicans oppose Sohn's positions on broadband net neutrality. Sohn favors making sure Amazon and Google get the same bandwidth as someone else's personal website, an even playing field for all. They also say her past work for the now-closed television streaming service Locast should disqualify her from becoming an FCC commissioner. Sohn has said she would recuse herself from matters involving retransmission consent or television broadcast copyright for the first 3 years of her term. Quote, "Why on earth should we choose a commissioner who would have to recuse herself from participating in substantial parts of the FCC's work? How does it serve Americans to have an FCC commissioner who can't fully do her job," unquote, said Republican South Dakota Senator John Thune. Quote, "Surely there are other qualified nominees who don't have Ms. Sohn's conflict of interest," unquote. The Media and Democracy Project, a progressive lobbying group, says, quote, "She represents a tie-breaking fifth vote at an FCC that must create a more just, equitable, and diverse media system," unquote, claiming media companies of, quote, "trying to undermine," unquote, her nomination to avoid regulation. Read more about this story at Inside Radio. Free speech seems like an endangered concept these days. The right wants to stop teachers from talking about many subjects with students and ban books they do not agree with. The left is trying to quash a growing trend of racist political speech. Neither side is happy, and radio hosts who talk for a living are being fired for what they say. There are two recent radio firings in the news. Last week, a radio host in Kazakhstan was fired after she wrote on Facebook, quote, "We will call in Uncle Vova if you talk too much," unquote. Uncle Vova is Russian leader Vladimir Putin, who has ordered an invasion of Ukraine, complete with mounting cases of war crimes and horrific attacks against civilians. Kazakhstan shares a large border with Russia and partners with the country on many economic issues. The Europa Plus Kazakhstan radio station fired host Lubov Panava after the comment. With a large Russian population and rumors that Russia could invade Kazakhstan, any talk about Putin there is bound to be controversial, and it is understandable why a host supporting Putin might cause a radio station to let them go. In the United States, that's not the case, as Tucker Carlson almost nightly says things in support of Putin on Fox News. But WMAL near Washington, D.C., fired a host last week for posting a photo of Vice President Kamala Harris wearing the color brown in a tweet that read, quote, "Kamala looks like a UPS employee. What can brown do for you? Nothing good, apparently," unquote. Right-wing commentators have decried the decision as against the First Amendment, which is silly since the government did not fire the host, and businesses can fire people in this country for what they post on social media. Amber Athey, the host, said owners of the station Cumulus Media told her the tweet was racist when they let her go. But she might have been fired for more than just one tweet. The New York Post reports that after the UPS tweet, Athey, quote, "spoke critically of protests in favor of trans kids at the University of North Texas," and as she wrote, quote, "a group of maniacal left-wing activists who want to chemically castrate children in the name of gender affirmation came after me," unquote. Cumulus Media officials have yet to talk about the issue in the media. Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine is not just a war of people and weapons, but of radio waves. In early February, Russia began bombing TV towers and attacking internet services. Then a major story in the war was that Russian troops were using unencrypted signals to communicate. Here's an excerpt of a New York Times report on intercepting Russian war transmissions.
Я тебе дал координаты снега, и мы нужна помощь. Навести все орудия. Необходимо просто навести в этом направлении.
What you're hearing are real-time battlefield communications between rank-and-file units on the front lines. They reveal a Russian military early on, already facing major challenges to get air support and fuel, and even possibly committing war crimes. It's not clear why some Russian military units are using unencrypted frequencies, but what it means is that people with access to a radio receiver can listen in and record their conversations, or interfere. We collected hundreds of recordings like these, painstakingly captured by ham radio operators and open source groups across the world.
On April 7th, Der Spiegel magazine reported that German intelligence intercepted radio exchanges between Russian soldiers who discussed killing civilians outside Kyiv, possible further evidence of Russian war crimes. In one conversation recorded by the Germans, a Russian soldier claims he shot and killed a cyclist. In another, a Russian soldier can be heard saying that bystanders should initially be questioned, then shot. And the information war is also taking place outside of Ukraine. British Broadcasting Corporation in early March restarted broadcasts on two shortwave radio frequencies, 15735 kilohertz and 5875 kilohertz, with their own World Service news in English that can be received clearly in Kyiv and parts of Russia. The BBC had stopped broadcasting to Europe on shortwave frequencies in 2008. Now, though, the BBC's Russian language news website's weekly audience has more than tripled since the invasion began, with a record 10.7 million people in early March compared to a usual average of 3.1 million. Radio Miami International is also beaming all sorts of signals into the conflict, providing news that is not allowed to be heard otherwise in Russia and may be difficult to receive otherwise with the infrastructure damage in Ukraine. WTWW in Lubbock, Texas is also beaming music and information into the area. Quote, I got a friend in the Ukraine that I've been emailing back and forth with and corresponding with, and he loves Creedence Clearwater Revival, unquote, said Dan Collins from the station. Quote, he loves it. I mean, he's a big fan. It's just kind of cool to be able to entertain the folks and also put some things in that they may not know. We have listeners in Russia. They don't get the truth. They'll never get the truth, but they can't stop us. That's the beauty of it, unquote. Matt Schudel reports in the Washington Post that Bill Fries, an advertising executive with a unique history in one form of radio, died from cancer at the age of 93 on April 1st. Under his stage name, C.W. McCall, Fries hit number one on the pop charts in 1976 with the song Convoy, the most famous musical ode to Citizens Band Radio. Fries first created the character C.W. McCall as a truck driver in a series of commercials for a Midwestern bread company. Then he had top 20 country hits with, quote, Old Home, Fill Her Up, and Keep on Truckin' Cafe, and Wolf Creek Pass, both songs about truck driving. Then his song Convoy, an odd ode to breaking the law on the nation's highways told through CB radio, knocked the Bay City Rollers Saturday Night off the top of the Billboard pop chart in January 1976. The song was a CB radio conversation between Rubber Duck and Pigpen, the CB radio handles of two truckers, and filled with the lingo and code words of Citizens Band Radio of the era. Quote, it was timely, unquote, Fries told the Associated Press in 1990. Quote, back in 1975-76, that craze was sweeping the country. The jargon was colorful, and the American public liked that, too. It was laced with humor, but it had a rebellious feeling about it, and people responded to it, unquote. Convoy sold about 7 million copies and inspired Sam Peckinpah's 1978 film of the same name, starring Kris Kristofferson. Quote, well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we gonna back on out of here, unquote, C.W. McCall says at the end of Convoy, with a slight alteration of a trucker's farewell, quote, keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail, unquote. Read more about this story in the Washington Post, and here is C.W. McCall's Convoy.
Yeah, Breaker 1-9, this here's a Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah,
was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Back off them hogs. Good 10, 4, about 5 miles or so. 10, Roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, this here is the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we got great big
Negatory, Big Ben, you're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Hey, rubber duck to Sodbuster, come on there. Yeah, 10-4, Sodbuster, listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty cowboy rockin' through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our
your 20. Omaha. Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye.
This has been the WGXC Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.
True or false? I say to you, this statement is false. Let's just think about this statement for a minute. If the statement is true, then the statement is true. And if the statement is false,